in control. And aren't you glad about that? Would you just give the Lord a great hand praise right now? Lord, you are in control. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. We thank you today, Lord. We thank you today. We thank you. And it is our privilege today to have Brother Scotty Sladen with us, who is our Global Missions Secretary and has been involved in missions, I know, over 25 years, and perhaps you could add a few years on top of that 25, of helping to share this news and this gospel with people of other nations, and of course, with this nation here. I appreciate this man, his wife, Sister Krista, their daughter Abigail, and their commitments to the kingdom of God. And I will just say this, I've observed it, not only those commitments to the kingdom of God and global missions, but it doesn't matter what's happening in the kingdom of God. If the Sladens can be involved in it, it seems like they are willing to do that and do it with their heart. I appreciate Brother Sladen. I appreciate his heart for God, his kingdom mind, his heart for missions. And it's more than a job title to Scotty Sladen. It's a ministry. It's a calling. You may be able to take the man off the mission field, but you can't take the mission field off of the man. And he has a heart for missions no matter where it is. And so I appreciate his apostolic ministry and his apostolic voice. Brother Sladen, thank you for coming to be with us today. Open your heart to us and let's hear the word of the Lord. Bless you, sir.
Lord, praise God. Thank you, Brother Williford. And it's great to be with you today. And of course, Brother Reaver and everyone, those that are here and the majority that are watching somewhere else, I agree. I don't think this is a setback. I think this is a setup, and I think it's actually preparing us for what the Lord has for His church. And let me say this. I think I have an advantage over a lot of people because we were missionaries in a country, of course, in the 80s, where it was potentially going to fall to communism, the Cold War era there. And our church was set up in El Salvador to go underground, because one of the things that they would have done was shut the churches down. But we were set up to go underground, and there were times we had to, we couldn't go to the church, to the building, to the temple per se. And that's okay. We were set up to operate outside of the walls of a building. And I think God is probably giving us a little heads up and preparing the church, not just in North America, but around the world. And I think He's kind of giving us the opportunity to prepare ourselves. Can we love Him? Can we be faithful to Him? Can we still have a relationship with God, even though we can't maybe gather inside a building as frequently as we would like, and maybe we can't come back in a building for a long time? Can we still remain faithful to God? I believe the answer for most of us is yes. I believe that yes, we can. Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me more than these?" And he asked him the question three times. Peter got frustrated. You know the story. But I kind of think the Lord is asking us, "Do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than the trappings of a building? Can you worship me without all the stuff around?" And I think, yes, we can. We can worship in our homes. We can raise our hands. We can lift our voices. We can praise God in our vehicles. We can praise God if we kneel at our bedside, if we raise our hands in our living room, out in our yards or wherever we are. Yes, we can be faithful to God. This is not going to stop the church. I don't think the church is ever going to be the same, but I think the church is going to come through this better and stronger than it's ever been, because we're His church. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to preach for just a little while. Genesis chapter 19, verse 37. And Brother Williford, I'll shake your hand in the future, but I won't shake your hand today. Genesis 19, 37. "And the first bare a son and called his name Moab, the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day." So I want to speak for just a little while on this thought, unexpected hope, unexpected hope. Let's pray and ask the Lord. I know we pray, but I want to ask the Lord to talk to us specifically through His Word, not just through me, but through His Word today. Lord, we love You and we thank You, God, for this opportunity. We thank You for Your Spirit that we feel. Thank You, Lord, for Your Word in our lives today. I ask You, Lord, to do a work in the Holy Spirit, to touch people that are listening, that are watching, wherever they would be, whatever the situation and circumstance. God, that You could penetrate hearts today, that You could go beyond, Lord, the barriers that we have created or that life has created for us. I'm asking You, Lord, to reach people, to touch today, to do a work, to do the miraculous. In the name of Jesus, praise God. Amen. God bless. You can be seated, those that are here. And if you're standing at home, you can be seated as well, or you can stand. Now, we all know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, at least most of us know, and I won't go into all the details of that. I will reference a few things because I need to set up kind of what we have here from the verse we read. What happened to bring us to this verse? Sodom and Gomorrah was perhaps, if not the most wicked, one of the most wicked places, cities that we've ever had in the history of mankind. It was a city that was so perverse. It was a city that was so sinful. It was a city with rampant perversity. Just, that's what it was. That God came to the place that He said, I've had enough. And God said, I'm going to destroy this city. And God destroyed the city with fire and brimstone. But God's not just a God of judgment. He is a God of judgment. But He's a God of mercy and He's a God of grace. And God sent the angels to bring out Lot and his family. And you know the story. And if you don't, read the book of Genesis and get a little bit of the background there. But the angels came to his house and said, we've got to get you out of here. You've got to leave. And the men of the city were so wicked and perverse. The city was full of homosexuality that the men wanted to have sexual relations with the angels. The Bible says that Lot, which is amazing to me, and I hope it's amazing in a bad way. It's just unbelievable. Their custom was, you can't harm a stranger. You can't harm a guest that is coming to our home. So Lot said, don't hurt these men. I never met them till today, but they're strangers in my home. However, I have two daughters, and they're virgins. You can have them. And he said, do with them as seems good unto you. That blows my mind that a father, that a parent would die fighting to protect my children, not offer my children to perverseness in this way. That's the environment of Sodom. That's where Lot lived. That's where he raised his children. And as they left the city, his wife turned back and said to look behind. God told him not to look back. I'm about to destroy this wicked place. Wipe it out. She turned back. The Bible says she became a pillar of salt. So Lot and his two daughters came to near a place called Zoar. They came to a cave. The Bible says they lodged there. Lot asked God, can I stay here? It's too far for us to go. Yes, that's fine. You can stay there. And okay, whatever. Now, this is where the story gets very interesting. And I have to lay this out because this is what gets us to the verse that we read. The Bible says that his two daughters, understanding all the eligible bachelors are gone. They just got burned up in the city back there. All the guys we knew and grew up with, our potential suitors are gone. So let's get our father drunk. Let's have intimate relations with him. Let's commit incest with our father. They did. They became pregnant. And they had children. Now, I realize that for most of us, this story is beyond comprehension. It's just so far out there that they could think that was okay. However, as detestable, Brother Williford, as that is, it shouldn't surprise us. This is what they were raised in. This is the environment that their father had raised them in. They were just acting as though they were raised. That's a whole nother message that I don't have time for today. Now, the verse that we read, the Bible says, from this sinful and incestuous relationship, the firstborn daughter, the eldest daughter, had a son, and she called his name Moab. Moab means from my father. Well, that's an appropriate name. kind of a sick, twisted name. But that's what Moab means. So when you look at Moab, you look at the beginning of Moab. I understand. Don't misunderstand me. The child Moab had nothing to do with what happened. I'm not blaming the child. The child had zero to say in this. It was a product of something that happened. Don't blame the child. It's innocent as can be. But Moab's beginnings, the nation of Moab's beginning, was sinful, incestuous, perverted, and terrible. And the truth is, when we look at the Word of God, Moab never really changed throughout history. Moab stayed the same. Maybe opportunities to change, maybe possibilities to change. But Moab just kept on that sinful lifestyle throughout its history. The Bible tells us that when Israel was coming to the promised land, that Moab hired Balaam to curse Israel. Moab can't change. Moab can't get it together. Moab is still this. Trust me, I'm going to show you some Bible here in just a second. God does not like Moab. God doesn't like the people of Moab. He has some things against Moab. Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 3 says this: "An Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to their 10th generation shall they not enter to the congregation of the Lord." Actually, forever. God said, "I don't want Moab mixing with my people. I don't want their culture to influence my people. I don't want their lifestyle choices. I don't want their habits and their practices to mix with my people. I want there to be a separation. I don't want Moab to the 10th generation. I don't want them around my people. Actually, forever." So God wasn't a fan of Moab. I'm trying to help hope that you understand what I'm saying here. God was not a fan of Moab. Moab is wrong and sinful and incestuous. That's Moab. God describes it this way in Psalms chapter 60 and verse 8. "Moab is my washpot." Washpot is the pot that catches the water when someone washes their hands. Now, in our modern times, we turn the faucet on, we wash our hands, the water goes down the drain. Most people don't even know where it goes. They don't really care where it goes. As long as it goes, they're good. It's out, and hey, I washed my hands. But having lived in El Salvador for a long time, many people don't have running water, and so what they do is what the Bible talks about. They grab some type of container that would hold water. They dip into another larger thing of water that they use for everything. They will bring it and they will pour it over your hands so you can wash your hands. And there's a pot that catches it. There's a basin. There's some kind of vessel that catches it. That's what God said Moab was. "When I wash my hands and the dregs and the filth and the junk comes off of my hands, that is what Moab is to me." You're the trash receptacle. You're the dirty receptacle, Moab. You know, Moab, you're not a nice pot. You're not a pot of value. You're not a pot that someone would pay money for. You haven't been designed intricately. You're not a work of art that anybody would want to display. You're simply a dirty, trashy pot that catches the dregs and the filth when I wash my hands. So that's what God thinks of Moab. Now, I could spend the time just going through a whole bunch of other scriptures, but I hope and I think you probably get the picture now. God's not a fan of Moab. God does not like Moab. He doesn't want them around his people. But Ruth chapter 1 and verse 22. So Naomi returned. I'm thinking in Spanish, Noemi, but... So Naomi returned, and Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her. which returned out of the country of Moab. They came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. You know the story. Naomi went to Moab. Things are going to get better. Her husband and her boys, her husband died, her sons died. And she came back and she told her daughters-in-law, look, you stay here, find you a husband, get you a man, and live your life. I'm too old. I can't even provide sons. I don't have any prospects. I've lost everything. I'm done. One daughter-in-law said, yeah, I'll go find me somebody. The other one, Ruth, said, I'm not leaving you. Your people will be my people and your God will be my God. That's Ruth, the Moabitess. It doesn't seem possible, Brother Reaver, that Ruth could be from Moab. It doesn't seem possible that this incestuous, sinful washpot of God could produce someone like Ruth. It doesn't seem possible. God said, I don't want them to the 10th generation. From the time that that declaration was made by God to the time of Ruth, the story that we find here was only 7, maximum 8 generations. But God saw something in the heart of Ruth. God saw something inside of her. She touched his heart. She moved God. And God said, oh, hey, this isn't just going to be somebody that comes into my congregation. It's not just going to be somebody that I let become part of my people. But her heart was humble. Her heart was pure. Her heart was toward God. Her heart was hungry. And God said, she's not just going to be part of my people, but she's going to be in the lineage of King David, the greatest natural king of Israel. Oh, by the way, she's in the lineage of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. If God can take a Moabitess, if God can take a sinful, incestuous, filthy, washpot person and use them to put them in the lineage of Jesus Christ, God can take what we're facing right now. God can take the circumstance that we're living with. God can take the challenges that we're facing in this hour and this time. And God can give hope to his people and hope to the world. From the dirty washpot, from this incestuous nation, comes someone of such a pure heart, such a clean heart. We don't know how Ruth was raised. We don't know what all happened in her life and her background. We know none of those things. What we do know is that her heart was pure before God. What we do know is that her heart was hungry for God. She told her mother-in-law, not even knowing, hey, your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. She didn't know she was going to meet Boaz. She didn't know she was going to marry a wealthy man. She didn't know everything was going to work out. God saw her heart and he said, that's what I want. Not just in my congregation, but that's what I want in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Praise God. I think that it's worth saying today, maybe most of us don't seem or feel, or maybe we judge ourselves, we're not the most qualified. Maybe some of you even feel like you come from Moab. Your life has been a filthy, wretched washpot of sin. I'm here to tell you there's a God that can be moved by your sincere heart today. If your heart will be humbled before God, if your heart will be broken before God, if your heart will be sincere, pure to God, God, I need you today, then God can take what you think is unqualified. God can take what you think will never work. God can take what you think is not going to get the job done. And say, I want to bring you not just into the congregation. I want to make you part of my body. I want to make you part of the church. I want you to be part of that lineage. Oh, we're the descendants. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is our older brother. He's the firstborn of many brethren. He's the first. He's our older brother. We're family with Jesus Christ. And God is saying, I want to bring some Moabites in. I want to bring some that maybe think they don't qualify, that maybe think they don't have it together. I want to bring them into my body. Unexpectedly, yes. From a source we didn't think, yes. I never would have watched church if it wasn't for COVID. God can do it. God can take it. Praise God. I want to refer for just a few moments. James chapter 4 and verse 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So if you're here, if you're watching, if you're listening, wherever you would be, if you're getting this after the fact, it doesn't matter. God can do a work if you will humble your heart before Jesus Christ. God will transform you and change you immediately. There's a story in the Bible. I'm going to conclude a few more scriptures with this here. I love Hezekiah. I love, obviously he wasn't perfect, but I love a lot of the things that Hezekiah did. When Hezekiah became king, you have to understand, he was raised by sinful, horrible, terrible parents. Raised in idolatry. Raised to serve Balaam, his parents. Here's another message I don't have time to preach, but you'll understand. He didn't choose the way of his parents. Just because they chose sin, he didn't choose sin. Just because they chose idolatry, he chose God. He was raised in it, but he chose the path of God. And Hezekiah said, I want to restore worship. The Bible says he repaired the doors of the temple. It says that he cleaned the rooms that had been desecrated and trash and junk and all kinds of idols and things were in those rooms. He cleaned them out. He restored worship in the temple. And then he said this, I want to celebrate the Passover. They hadn't celebrated Passover in many years. And Hezekiah sent letters. But Williford, when he sent letters, Israel was so far from God. So when he sent the letters out, the Bible says they laughed the messengers to scorn. Do no Passover. We're going to Balaam's feast. Passover? Ridiculous. Get out of here with that. But Hezekiah's heart was pure before God. And he was hungry for the things of God. They celebrated the Passover. But when they celebrated the Passover, because of the timing, you can't celebrate the Passover when you want it. It's not like we're going to have some kind of party and you set a date. The Passover's a specific date. Because they celebrated, the people had not fully prepared themselves. They had not cleansed themselves according to the ritual, ceremonial cleansings. But Hezekiah went ahead and had the Passover. The Bible talks about that Passover was one of the most unique and special Passovers ever in the history of Israel. They had it, but the people had not ceremonially cleansed. But Hezekiah felt, and I think he was backed up by the scripture that I'm going to read in just a moment, but he felt that God was more interested in the sincerity of his people than in fulfilling every little ceremonial thing that had been established. 2 Chronicles chapter 30 verses 18 through 20. Hezekiah prayed a prayer of intercession for his nation. For a multitude of the people, even many of Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves. Yet did they eat the Passover otherwise than it was written. They didn't quite get all the ceremonial stuff done, but they ate the Passover. Maybe it was a little different. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, listen to this prayer. It's not a long prayer, but it's a sincere prayer. The good Lord pardon everyone that prepareth his heart to seek God, the God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. God heard his prayer and God healed a hurting nation. They didn't have all the ceremonies down right. Brother Williford, they didn't do all of the detail just right in the ritual. They didn't have all the things because the timing wasn't right to get it all done as it should be. But their heart was in the right place. They were trying to do what they could. They had been under an evil king for so many years that had drawn them away from the things of God. And here you have a king that was raised in idolatry, and he's trying to turn back to the ways of God. And he says, the good Lord, pardon everyone. And the Bible says God heard the prayer and God healed the nation. Praise God. I know you believe it because we did it this morning. But the only thing that's going to heal our nation is the prayer of a church. Don't misunderstand me. Politicians do what they can do. That's not going to heal the nation. I pray for our politician. I pray for our leaders. What's going to heal the nation is the prayer of a church. Praise God. They didn't do the ceremony just right. But their hearts were pure before God. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that you can come to God just any way you please. I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying that any way that you come to God begins with a sincere heart. Begins with a humble heart. Begins with a heart that's seeking after the things of God. I believe, and not just that I believe it, but the Bible teaches us, you must be born again. If you want to be saved, regardless of pre-COVID, mid-COVID, post-COVID, you must be born again. You have to be born of the water in baptism in Jesus' name. You must receive the baptism of God's Spirit with the initial evidence of speaking in tongues. That has to happen. But for the new birth to happen, you've got to have a heart that's sincere toward God. Hezekiah said, Lord, it's not a normal time. Things are a little different. Maybe we feel that way. Maybe things are a little different. Yes, they are. Look at what we're doing. But God can move on sincere hearts right now, this moment. Those that are with me, if you would stand, if you're at home or somewhere where you can, if you'd prepare yourself, we're going to pray in just a moment. I believe God is looking for a few Moabites that he can reach and put into his congregation. I think God is looking for a few humble hearts. Maybe they don't have everything together. Brother Reaver, maybe they don't have all the ceremonies done just yet. Maybe they're trying to reach out for God. And God wants to touch those hearts. Maybe they don't even know what having church is. Like, we have church. We're not even having church like we have church. Maybe God is just showing us it's okay to not have church like we thought we had to have church, because he can still move. My prayer today is that God will inspire us with hope in his word. No matter what we face, no matter the situation, we can become part of the body of believers. If he can take a Moabite and put her in the lineage of King David and Jesus Christ, if he can take a king raised in idolatry trying to figure it out and pardon all the people, the nation of Israel, then God can surely use us, and God can bring hope from anywhere. It may seem like things are crashing down around us, and some of them are, but we can trust in God, and we must trust in God. It doesn't make sense when God brings a Ruth into the lineage of Jesus Christ. But God does some things that don't make sense to us. But it's the will of God. It's the purpose of God. I want us to pray in just a moment. And my prayer that I want us to pray is this. That we ask God, Lord, in the midst of all this situation, I don't know where, I don't know how, I don't know, I can't see, I can't, it just, things are bad and rough and worse, and it, all these things that are happening. I don't know where hope is going to come from, but I can give you a clue. It's not going to come from the news. It's not going to come from social media. It's not going to come from the internet. Hope is going to come from the Word of God. Hope is going to come from the Spirit of God. I'm not against all those things. Don't misunderstand me. That's life. It is what it is in the 21st century. But our first priority should be the Word of God and the presence of God. And I want us to pray today, Lord, I want you to examine my heart. And if there's anything in my heart that shouldn't be there, then I want you to remove it. Don't just remove it and leave it vacant, but replace it with you. If it doesn't need to be here, if there's fear, if there's doubt, if there's unbelief, if there's panic, if there's hate, if there's envy, if there's strife, if there's unsettledness, whatever is in here, God, take it out. I may not even be aware. Take it out, God, and replace it with you. I wonder if we could lift our hands, those in the building, those that are watching. Lift your hands, if you can, wherever you are. I want us to pray, and in just a moment, I'm going to turn this back to your pastor as he leads us in prayer and concludes. But let's pray that God would touch us and talk to us today. Lord, we come to you right now. We're so thankful for your presence and so thankful, Lord, for your word. So thankful, Lord Jesus, for your hand that's upon us today. Lord God, we're asking you to touch us. We're asking you, Lord, that you would examine our hearts, that you would search our hearts, that your word and your spirit would go deeper than we even know, can understand. Go beyond, God, what we even recognize is inside of us. I'm asking you, Lord, to examine our hearts today, to touch us, Lord, in a powerful way. I'm asking, Lord, that your spirit would break the barriers we've erected, would go to the rooms we thought we had hidden from you. God, go inside each one of us today. Lord, examine us and see and know. Speak to us about it, God. Remove in me what doesn't need to be there. Take out of me, God, what doesn't need to be there. God, replace in my heart your spirit and your word, your peace, God, and your love. Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would touch today. Oh, I lift my eyes to the hilt. Where comes my help? It comes from you. You alone, oh God, are the help that we need today. Lord, let it be in every one of us. Let it be in every one of us. God, you are my hope. You are my deliverer. If you can use these people in your word, God, you can use us. You can touch our hearts. You can transform our lives. You can do a work in us today. We're asking it, God. We're believing you, Lord, to do it upon us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you're praying right now and you've never repented of your sins, if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit of God Almighty, I want you right now, ask God to forgive you of your sins. Begin to worship and praise him. Let God fill you with this spirit right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of the Lord, your presence is upon us, O Lord. Your presence is leading us. Your word is directing us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's all right. Continue in a presence of prayer right now. It's here. It's right where it's with you. It's right where you are right now, God. Hallelujah. I'm so glad for your covering upon your people. No matter where we are, no matter where we are, your spirit is leading us. You've spoken to us, Lord. You've spoken to us. You've given us direction. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the God that you are. Yes, I thank you. 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 Ah, you kotolabo yisika lo kotaya kotarabo haya. Oh, hariudi sikatulaya kotabo saya. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.